Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks Lockdown Lock-In. Oh yeah. I'm here, Masood Miles. With me as always is the amazing Chris Stokes.
Hello. I needed to hear
and
that today.
Fantastic. Suze Kempner.
Me also. I didn't need to hear it, I knew.
She just knew. Hey guys, how's another little lock-in episode? We thought we'd to treat you guys to another little
We were meant to have a guest, but he is otherwise engaged answering some difficult questions.
He just didn't.
He had some difficult questions to answer.
Yeah,
I see.
Didn't let us know though, did he? That's a bit of a.
I know.
Well, he could still turn up. It's only 10 minutes. He could do another. You know, he could.
No, I think he's busy.
I don't think he'll come to the bar though, because he observes lockdown rules very, very rigidly.
Yeah, you must completely without deviation. I mean, surely he could make an exception though, right? I mean, you know.
Well, there are exceptions to be made under lockdown, and I suppose if you behave responsibly and with integrity, you can still be a great guest.
I think that this is safer than his house though, and he does have children, and so I think bringing them here to a bar is probably best. I mean, we could look after them while he's.
Yeah, I haven't shown any symptoms, for example, and I can safely say that my eyesight is fine, which means I don't have to test anything out by driving to a castle.
Mystery on the rocks, oh yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
When I sliced my head open in Ipswich and had to go to A&E, they did an eye test and they just gave me the keys to Alexis and said if you wouldn't mind driving to the castle.
So you drove what was that, about 180 miles
from Ipswich.
Durham,
I can't remember what castle they sent me to.
Okay.
It's always a different one,
isn't it? Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's because you can memorise the way.
I see. Yeah, of course.
yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is such a good point, Chris. Because, like, when I there's always, like, the last 10 minutes of my journey home from gigs and that, I know it like the back of my hand.
Absolutely.
I have a nap. And I just let the car drive itself.
Yeah.
It's muscle memory at that point, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Just to make keep you on your toes, of course. Yes, yeah, yeah.
It's why they
famously had to change from the eye chart anyway, because people memorize the eye chart.
Yeah, just like that guy in The Great Escape. You know, you walk across the room, pick up the pin, because he's remembered where it is. So you've just got to, absolutely, you got to keep people on their toes.
At the end of the day, it's unfortunate that our guests that we can't name can't be with us today, but as chief advisor to the
Prime Minister, say is I hope he's getting some sun in his garden.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, what a lovely day. It'd be a shame to be stuck in, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know. What a pity that would be.
There are exceptions, such as if you want to go in the Prime Minister's garden and just sit behind a desk.
Of course, which is, you know, and what a lovely
garden.
Like
you're running fucking tombola or something.
Oh my God.
It did look like he was selling raffle tickets.
Yeah.
I half expect him to pull out a number and go, two fat ladies, 88. Lucky for some, 69. What is happening?
Yeah, he had the look on his face of somebody going, okay, no, what you do is you have to guess how many Skittles are in the jar.
Yeah, we're going to count them up at the end
of
the day.
You write in your name, your email address and your guess, whoever's closest gets the wins the jar of Skittles.
The look of someone who's visibly annoyed that everyone keeps asking the same question.
Like, yeah, the sort of person who's like, well, why wouldn't you believe me when I tell you how many Skittles are in the jar? Of course we know.
I can confirm I'm on Joris Bonson watch on this particular podcast.
Listener, we record this on Monday, by the way. So just so you're wondering.
A lot could have happened.
Monday, the 25th of May, 2020, to be precise.
Yeah, there was some stuff that happened. By the time this is released in 3 days, what we say may as well be, Guy Fawkes tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament for how relevant it
is. Can you imagine if the person that runs the Guy Fawkes Twitter account tried to do that on Wednesday?
Wow, Suze is amazing.
Oh my God.
But weirdly, right before, like literally a minute before I joined this Zoom call, Will Duggan, friend of the show, texted me with a question. So I'm going to ask it to you, Mr.
Yeah.
He
said,
absolutely.
He says that during lockdown, he's been drinking a lot of Negronis at the moment.
Yes.
And he can't understand why the first half of the first Negroni is a bit too bitter, but from there on out, it's delicious. He wants to know why that is.
Part of that, I think, because I know exactly the phenomena he's talking about, is I experience exactly the same thing every Negroni that I have. And that is that you are getting drunker. That's happening.
Oh, because I was really hoping you were going to say he's doing it wrong.
Oh, no, you're getting drunk. Oh, that's right. What's happening.
Just what are we drinking tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's a very good question. What do we have? What do you have there, Chris? You've got a nice tall glass. It looks very, very delicious.
Yeah, so it's an Elvis Collins.
Ah, yes.
This is the Elvis Collins you were telling us about the other night.
It's my new favourite drink.
Yeah.
Oh,
so tell us about the
whiskey?
Elvis Collins.
Well, it's meant to be a Tom Collins, and I might have made this up, but I think Tom Collins is, am I right in saying it's gin, lime juice, soda water?
Yeah.
Is that it?
And simple syrup,
yeah.
Okay.
You can have lemon or lime, it depends, just citrus,
right?
Some people got lemon, yeah.
So what an Elvis Collins is the gin, obviously, otherwise it can't be called a Collins, instead of the lime/lemon juice, it's grapefruit juice.
Oh.
Instead of simple syrup, it's Passoa, which is passion fruit liqueur.
Oh!
Yeah!
Why have you got Passoa in the house?
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah, we've got Passoa.
How come? What do you... What? Why? Because I've got Passoa, but that's because I'm a child.
Oh, I think the same. I think it was because it's sweet and nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so Passoa instead of simple syrup. So that's already a more alcoholic drink.
Oh my God.
Instead of soda water, it's topped up with Elvis juice, which is a great it's a grapefruit infused IPA from BrewDog.
What? So you've made a pretty alcoholic drink all alcohol. You've made it a spirit.
Yeah, whereas the Tom Collins, the only thing alcoholic in it is the gin. This has everything alcoholic except for the grapefruit juice, and even then it's only a little bit.
It's a little bit of that.
Yeah, I made a Tom Collins better, basically.
And
I say me, a friend of ours told us that they'd had an Elvis Collins, and I couldn't find the recipe anywhere, so I just looked at the recipe of a Tom Collins and
just added
by memory what I thought they'd said. So this might not be an Elvis Collins, but it's my version of it.
I think it's incredible.
Lovely.
Yeah, especially the IPA, the infused IPA instead of soda water. I mean, that's such a nice spin.
I've made a mental note to make this for you all when we can be in the same room again.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yay.
I'm considerate. It sounds so good.
I think it counts as an exceptional circumstance, and we can all drink an Elvis Collins with responsibility and integrity.
Shall I meet you in Durham?
Of course we can. Yeah.
Yes.
I'll.
Get in, losers.
So
we're all going to Dominic Cummings' parents' house.
What are you drinking, Suze? What do you have there?
Oh, well, Masood, do you think this will work?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm feeling like a bit of a maverick today.
Okay.
I've got Mozart chocolate liqueur, which is basically just like Nutella Baileys.
Oh, my God.
I've got Passoa and vanilla vodka.
Do you think
if I mix those things together, it will be lovely, or will it be awful?
So the Pessoa is probably my only concern because it might curdle?
Yeah.
Maybe this could be a fuck off over and all over again.
Absolutely.
My 100% hit rate when it comes to making cocktails is going to be true again.
Right, so it's the lightning strikes.
I'm going to type in passion fruit cocktail.
I want Sue to make it. I'm going to try and get a screenshot of the exact moment she tastes it.
Oh, well, if we're are you recording the video, Sue? Because then you can send it to us and we can just scrub right to the moment.
Passion fruit. I've just found a recipe for passion fruit chocolate ganache bars.
Then it might work. Oh, really? It might work.
It might work, though.
Lindt do passion fruit intense chocolate.
I reckon for this.
If it curdles...
Yeah.
Is it bad to drink it?
No.
No, it's not bad. It's just kind of weird. It's just, like, it means that it'll sort of separate, like, right?
Yeah.
Like, there'll be a kind of thinner part.
And it won't make me throw up or anything.
No. It just looks gross.
I mean, if it does, who cares? I'm in my fucking house forever, apparently. All right, hang on. All right, I'm going to do it. I think I'll start with the... What would be the heaviest ingredient? The chocolate.
Probably the chocolate.
Start with that. Right, pouring it in.
The Sue's School of Mixology does not call for measurements.
No, I've got eyes.
How good are they, though?
And then Pessoa.
You should probably test them out.
I know, fuck. I haven't driven to a castle in years. I should test it out as soon as I can. Ah! Oh! It looks like... Right, okay.
You're going to say something disgusting, are you?
Yeah,
sure.
I'm banking on it.
I think I know what you're going to say, but I reckon you should say
from the view. I work quite a lot with the composer Richard Thomas, who wrote Jerry Springer the Opera. He wrote the music and lyrics for Jerry Springer the Opera.
Yeah.
And he has written me a song called Blood in My Stool.
Oh, wow.
Everybody, I've got blood in my stool. And that is what that looks like.
Oh, wow. It looks like a bloody
blood
stool.
In my stool. Right. That's what it looks like. Let's swirl it about. The chocolate is very much settling at the bottom of the glass.
Oh, then in which case, it might be bitter to start with and then really delicious
then
at the end, like a Negroni.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it looks all right.
I like the two-tone effect, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Right. All right. I'm going to drink it, but I need to name it first. I'm going to call it... an essential drive to Durham.
There we go. I like that.
Is it nice?
No, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Guys.
Yeah.
What I've created is a porn star martini with a chocolatey
Ooh.
Edge.
That is a very good palate you have, Zeus. That's really, really... You managed to pull that out of that. That's really good.
You're telling me, mate.
I think...
I've drunk a lot of them out of tins.
Pessoa is in a porn star martini, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. So it's passion fruit,
and
liqueur,
vodka.
And vodka, basically. I think that's it. I think that it's...
And a slice of passion fruit floating about.
You know, yeah, but that's not if you drink out of a can.
No, if you drink out of a can, you have to add the passion fruit yourself. And
yeah.
I do, because I'm... Sorry, guys, but I'm a fancy person. I found out that the guy who invented the passion fruit martini, he... just literally not the passion fruit, the porn star martini.
Yeah,
he literally just had this nice drink and he went, I'm gonna call it the porn star martini because I think it will get loads of attention. That's literally
wow.
the reason.
Oh, so it's like when the guy
20 years and he made a fortune.
Because I was gonna say there's nothing that makes it a martini, is there?
No. It's not really and so that's why. But then the porn star martini, that for some reason that combination of words, people go, you'll have one now.
Yeah, it worked on me. I was like, a porn star martini, that sounds like a naughty drink. And
well,
it is,
yeah.
If you've had 10 of them. Right, bits of it cling to the side of the glass. Like intestinal membrane. But it's not intestinal membrane, it's just lovely chocolate liqueur. Myself another long drive to Durham, if that's all right.
A long drive to Durham.
I'm just gonna. So we start with the chocolate.
What are you drinking, Masood? We never got there.
Oh, I finished my martini. It was just, and now I'm drinking a beer.
I'm back on the beer now as well.
Yeah.
He's on the beer teeny.
This is a secret castings martini.
Secret.
This is a what's the taxi one?
fake taxi?
Yeah, this is the fake taxi.
That came out of a holster. That was too quick. I shouldn't have. That was way too quick. Oh, God.
What's fake taxi? Oh, is that the one where they pull up and they're like, hey, get in. Get in, loser. We're making porn.
Basically, yeah.
Right, I've done it. That's what it looks like.
It doesn't look any better that way around.
It doesn't look any better or different. Mm.
Because it's heavier. The chocolate looks like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bottoms up, literally.
Hey. Well, we did have a mystery for today, but we won't do it, will we? We'll just kind of...
If there's no guest to help solve it, we might as well just keep talking about our unnamed guest. Here's a little clue. He gave a very moving speech that we could all relate to earlier, where he talked about the vast sprawling grounds that his family owned. And it was very relatable stuff.
It's the one thing that really winds me up about all of that is the thing of like, well, that our guest is a good father. And it just makes me go okay, well, he's not. It's the kind of thing that, you know, he flies in the face of defiance of every, you know, he's just like, well, like, I think what I did was very responsible as a parent, and any other parent would have done the same. You told them to not do that, you stupid bellend.
The Sunday night, we couldn't even call it a leak. It was a rumor going around that he was going to come out and say that his 4-year-old son was actually autistic.
I remember reading about this, yeah.
I think they leaked that to see gauge what public opinion was, and my entire Twitter was just loads of people who I follow on Twitter who are autistic saying fuck off.
My
favorite debunking of that was like, yeah, I'm autistic, and what I think would be the best for me mentally is to be ripped out of my home.
Yeah, exactly.
My home and my routine and just.
Yeah, what I like is when everything's different.
It feels like they're sat around the think tank. They're like, okay, well, what works? What's hot? Autism. We can spin the autism.
The people are so quick to believe anything that affirms what they want, without fact checking. That people leapt on that autism thing and they were like, oh, and I saw a tweet that called people on the left of AFA. Which I'd never seen before. God.
They say it was the National Socialist Party. And you're like, well, yeah, I once won a comedy competition that got me a lifetime supply of Blue Nun. But I guess what didn't appear at my door? Blue Nuns. It was Wayne. So, yeah.
Do you still have that?
Blue Nun?
Yeah. You still get that delivered to you?
It was actually a year's supply of Blue Nun. They tried to relaunch. I won a variety award about 8 years ago in a comedy competition. And the prize was a night at the Leicester Square Theatre doing your own show. So that was good.
That's great.
But less impressive, they'd relaunched with this sparkling Blue Nun with like flakes of gold in it, you know,
Schlager
vodka. And they gave me one bottle, and I emailed them saying, it's actually quite nice. Would you send more? Yeah. And they never did. A year's supply, one bottle.
One bottle. Well, in their head, they're like, no one's going to drink this shit. So that's technically a year's supply right there.
Yeah.
I remember at school, Chris Walker won a year's supply of Cadbury's chocolate. Everyone was like,
heaven.
Yeah, but it was the sort of thing that they used to put on competition stuff, like a year supply, a lifetime supply.
Yeah.
And this was somebody who could tell us how it was quantified.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So it was like, finally, what is a year's supply? How much is a year's supply? It was just one bar per day of the year. So that's still quite a lot. But he got 365 bars of dairy milk, I think.
That's more than I could ever eat.
In your life?
In a year.
Yeah.
In my life.
That's
year. I don't think I could eat a whole bar of dairy milk.
Not big bars, the little ones.
Oh, yeah, you could chalk through those in about 2 days, mate. 365, just knock them back. I thought it was, I was under the assumption it was
not the big
it
ones.
It was the 4x7,
the
whatever.
The little Mars bar size ones.
Oh, that's rubbish. 365 of them. Yeah. Nah, that's not a year's supply. That's barely a week, mate.
That said, free chocolate, innit?
To be fair, so then if you're weighing the economics of that, right? So the odds of winning that, say, are what? One in however many bars are there being sold at any one time? If you spent 365 quid, you could have that any time in your life. If that's
it would have been half that. Maybe a third.
So it would have been... Fucking hell. Can you imagine going to a shop and being like, right, how many bars do you have?
And they've got smaller these days, apparently, if you listen to what everyone says.
Oh, that drives me nuts when people... The conspiracy behind the shrinking of chocolate bars or any confectionery-type products. When people are like, they're getting smaller. So that's probably a good thing, right? We don't really want to be selling giant bars for the same price. That's why Coke shrunk their cans, apparently, because of the sugar tax. Yeah. So you can't get big... That's why they pushed Coke Zero recently, because they were like, oh, well, we're getting sugar tax, so... You can get the small cans at the same price, or you can get Coke Zero at the same price. So which one do you want to do?
Did you get a Corona because it's so cheap these days?
I did, yeah. And it's gotten smaller.
I used to sell a lot of it when I worked at a bar called Billy Rocks.
When you say you sold it, do you mean that you had to go around horribly... dressed in an outfit and like pour it for people? Or...
Actually, no, the Corona. I was barmaid there at this nightclub, which emphasized, it was like a 1,000 capacity nightclub in my local town that really emphasized girls getting up and dancing on the
like
bar.
Coyote
so it was like Coyote Ugly. Yeah.
Yeah, it was trying to be, but it was so awful.
Emphasis on the coyote. Yeah.
I was a coyote. Do you know what? It was a horrible job. And I did have to go around being a shot girl.
Right.
In like little shorts and stuff. But I think I was about 21. But we would have every Saturday night was a theme. So you had to dress accordingly, which I actually used to find a little bit fun because at least you could do some fun, fancy dress.
Yeah.
But it was Halloween and I just dressed, I just had a black catsuit thing.
Mm.
And I wore a black ninja cowl over my face so you can see my face, and I was having a good night in the old tip jar, and this guy towards the end of the night, P.S. this is the most Seuss Kempner thing that's ever happened, and this guy, this is the most Seuss Kempner story of all time, said I want to see your face, please I want to see your face, and I went, if you want to see my face you'll have to put a quid in my tip jar, and I held out my tip jar and he put a pound in. And I took off my cowl, and he went, I'll have my fucking money back.
No, what a prick.
Ugly Seuss Kempner. Body,
oh, my God.
Some guys came over once when I had some other guys at one point come over. Because I don't have the kind of face that appeals to the kind of people who go Billy Rocks. And some guys came over after
Knuckle
I'd been dancing on the bar.
And they went,
me and my mate, we've been talking and we've decided body like Baywatch, face like Crime Watch, which is not even their joke.
No, it isn't. And also I bet they would have kind of think tanked it again. Those three
should
in
we, what should we? Oh God, look,
mate,
we've got a blue
mate,
sky this.
Before you go over there, mate, practice it three times, make sure you say it the right way around.
To be fair, they fucking nailed it. And his mate just stood sort of with his arms folded, nodding like,
there's something, what I like is that at some point in their lives, one of them will remember it and be like, oh, wow,
that was, we're going back, when was it, 2006, 2007 I worked there, it was before I went to Iron Appa, and they were probably a little bit older than me, and they're probably in their late 30s now with kids and
with
stuff.
With daughters.
Yeah.
And,
oh, God.
Yeah, with daughters.
And that's, and they'll, every time they look at their daughters, they'll be like, God, I was such a...
Oh, my God.
Every time they look at their daughters, they'll be like, face like Crime Watch.
Face like everybody. Oh, I feel bad for her. She's got a face like Crime Watch.
Crime Watch. You'll be like, that's your, that's, those are your kids. Those are your genes, mate.
Oh, my God, that's your daughter.
No, nah, it's not that. It's, I mean, it's basically, they've got their mum's body, yeah? Perfect.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they've ended up with Auntie Edna's fucking face.
Yeah. Are you drunk? This is a PTA meeting. What are you doing? Please, sir, you've been sick. Please, stop.
I remember telling my mum and dad the next day about the face like... body like Baywatch, face like Crime Watch. And mum went, oh, that's horrible. And dad just went, oh, why are you fixating on it?
What? No, that's not...
I wasn't!
It's, no,
I told you once.
Yeah, I just said, oh, this happened last night.
Did you just have a regular martini and there was nothing special about it?
No, just a regular old martini. It's my go-to. Martini. It's my go-to if I'm like, well, it's fucked. Might as well have a martini.
Well, guest cancelled.
Yeah, might as well.
Guess, yeah.
Might as well have a
Big
martini.
Big Dom. I can confirm that nothing major came out of the Boris Johnson press conference, which means it must have been very, very boring. But I can also tell you that Primark is trending. Should we see why?
Yeah, let's see why Primark is trending. That's it.
It's opening. They're going to open Primark on the 15th of June.
Oh, right. Okay. Literally, I can't think of anything more terrifying and disease-spreading than a Primark.
Listen, I'm not going to let you slag off Primark. You can find some really nice clothes on the floor there.
It's
Primark for a couple of hours, buying a few swimming shorts and flip-flops, and then going down Wetherspoons. And they'll be the only things open. They know what the people want.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to love going to Wetherspoons, and I feel like I really can't anymore because of Tim Wetherspoon, which is his name.
Who went like, we will only serve British champagne? It's like, can't call it champagne if it's not from Champagne, number one. And number two, who the fuck is drinking that garbage?
Well, the thing that he did was he wouldn't pay any of his staff when lockdown happened. Tim Wetherspoon, like, I finally got pushed over the edge because I used to go in there weekly with my mum and her mate. We used to go to Wetherspoons every week and just rant about the government and be like, haha, Tim Wetherspoons would hate this. Meanwhile, like, buying all his food. I can't tell you how short this podcast is going to be.
I think actually what I might put a tweet out tonight that people will see tomorrow and just say, really sorry, everybody. Our guest didn't turn up. Do you still want us to release the chat that ensued?
We've also got the stream on that Thursday as well. So they're kind of getting the double.
Yeah, so it might be worth
actually. Oh, let's talk about that now.
And tonight at 8 p.m., you can find us on Twitch. That's Mr. on the Rocks.
Twitch.tv/Mr. on the Rocks.
Which will be fun. I think that'll be a fun... you can vote for the mystery.
Well, I mean, like, listen, it's unprecedented.
Yeah.
We've never done it before. So,
and we're going to stream responsibly and with integrity.
So, if you're listening to this on the day it goes out, Thursday the 28th of May 2020, in the evening, British summertime, which might be your afternoon if you're listening in Watertown.
Yeah.
Oh, that Watertown. Yes.
Listen, Watertown, I don't want you to think we're taking the piss out of you. We are genuinely happy that you're here.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, I really want the person from Watertown. This is a call to action from Masood, from the big man Masood himself. Get in
big
touch.
Big Mass.
Big Mass. Big Mass. Big Mass Milas. Get in touch, Watertown. Please, send us a tweet. Say hello. We really, really, genuinely want to hear from you.
So if you are listening on the morning of the 28th of May, tonight we're doing a live stream on Twitch.
Yes.
So join us for that. It'll be a lot of fun. We're really, really
make along the cocktail with Masood.
Yes, I shall be making the Stanley Tucci Negroni, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah. Vote for the mystery that we discuss.
Yes.
There'll be three options, and you can vote for them.
Yeah.
Yes. Please cast your vote upon the day. Yes, it'll be a lot of fun. Please tune in.
Yeah.
So thanks very much for listening, firstly, and for joining us on our little lockdown episode. It's been a lot of fun just chatting to you guys. Just having a chat. It's really fun because I realize how little I actually just have a chat with you guys. And this is always
I forgot we were recording a couple of times.
Yeah, I was like, this is our normal conversation.
Yeah.
If you're listening, this is what we're like.
This is what we actually like. Yes. We can be found at all the usual places. You can find us at Mystery on the Rocks. R-O-X, the Rocks is spelt, on Twitter and Instagram.
You can also find us. Give it to you.
Oh yeah. You can also find us mysteryontherocks@gmail.com. You want to email, just be like, hey Masood, what is a Stanley Tucci Magroni?
We did get an email from this is gonna sound impertinent, but the name on the email was Hairy Ape. And the email address was Big Hairy Orangutan. Don't you worry, listener. We were very respectful. And when we replied, we said, hi, Hairy. Can we call you Hairy? What else could we do? Hairy Ape. Dear Mr. on the Rocks, I feel compelled to write in as I may genuinely be your only listener from Todmorden.
Oh,
I cannot express enough my delight that you covered the story of Zygmunt Adamski, or, more specifically, local Todmorden celebrity Alan Godfrey. I'm fast approaching 40, so I was a mere child during the heyday of his celebrity, which only added to the wonderment of what happened to him. Now, listeners, if you remember, in the Zygmunt Adamski episode, Alan Godfrey was the policeman who investigated and then subsequently said that he was abducted.
Of course, that's
by aliens,
right.
I did a very insensitive impression of him under hypnosis.
That was fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was a classic moment.
I remember as a teenager asking my dad if he believed him, and he simply replied with, I believe that he believes he was abducted.
Oh.
And get this, he's still friends with my dad, and they see each other for a drink every once in a while.
I love that.
He's still a local celebrity, and he's written a book about his experience called Who or What Were They?
Wow. You know what? We should try to get him on the show, I think. That would be
cool. Alan Godfrey, what a character. But then this is quite interesting. The email goes on to say that Todmorden used to be well renowned for being a UFO hotspot.
Oh.
But it also has a large amount of magic mushrooms growing wild nearby.
Coincidence.
So that would probably explain a hell of a lot. And I didn't know that. So that's offered some great context.
That's basically cracked the case wide open again. Thanks so much for that one, Hairy.
And also, I think this is, I mean, Hairy Ape, you might be our only listener from Todmorden, but you're certainly, almost certainly, our only listener that's got such a connection to a case that we've covered.
Yeah.
That you've met somebody involved.
That's incredible.
And then they sign off by saying, I hope you managed to get more live shows further up north when lockdown is lifted, so I can see Suze get Suze drunk live whilst falling off her chair doing a Doc Cotton impression.
I'm leaning into the mic. It will happen.
I'd love it to happen.
That would be fantastic.
But thank you very much, Hairy Ape. So if you have any burning things you want to say to us, email in, please.
Absolutely, please do, and we will read them out on the next episode. So email us at mysteryontherocks@gmail.com. We'll read out your mail. We'll have a listener mail episode.
If you have a connection to a case that we've covered, Hairy Ape does, we definitely want to hear about that.
Please,
if you
absolutely.
Are Ken Brennan, give us a call.
Oh, Ken Brennan.
And we will fight for your love.
Yes.
When our guest cancelled today, I was like, I'm just going to do the Ken Brennan story. But I'm really glad I didn't, because it's there now. It's there for me to surprise you with.
I can't wait.
If anyone knows Ken Brennan, please get in touch.
If
and
you
let
are
us
Ken
know.
Brennan, I would like to go out with you.
Get in line, Suze.
I think all of us would.
Yeah. I think you better. If you're Ken Brennan and you decide to drive the fake taxi at some point.
Via a castle.
I'm going to go up to him and go, oi, Ken, give it me. Give it me.
Wouldn't it be amazing? Plot twist. Ken Brennan lives in Watertown.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. He's like, I've been listening to you wonderful people, and I have to say, Suze, you've got a body like Baywatch and a face I don't care for.
Like Unsolved Mysteries.
It's a mystery. Why is everything on your face so big when the face itself is so small? I won't ever get to the bottom of this, so instead I'll get to the bottom of you. And I'm just like,
And what a place to leave it.
Yeah. See you later.
Thank you. Oh, thanks so much
for listening, everybody.
We'll see you on the live stream. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your week and your weekend. We will see you next time.
With a guest.
With a guest. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Goodbye.
Fuck you, Cummings.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.